The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, as probably many of you are aware, that Buddhism is very reluctant to make any claim about what is a self, what's the self. However, I would kind of venture to say that if you were to twist the arm of a Buddhist, you don't have a choice. You have to make something the self. Otherwise, you know. Then I think that the best candidate is your intention. That your intention is yourself. Not that it's not really yourself, but it's probably the best candidate. Or the best thing, if you really need to have a self, if you absolutely need to have a self, let it be your intention. Because your intention is such a powerful conditioning, such a powerful aspect of our life. Intention, if you really care for your attention well, it will bring you down to the very roots or the very depth of your heart, into the essence of our life in some very important way. And so a very important part of Buddhist spirituality, spiritual practice, is to pay attention to intention, to notice what we're intending as we go through our life. And it involves intention in the mundane, everyday kind of activities of life. It can be as simple as the intention you have when you open a door to go into a room, or if you put your shoes on a shoe rack, what's the intention there? We can do these things mindlessly without really taking in what the intention is in doing those things. And there's levels of intention, you know, to get through the door. It seems obvious. But, you know, are we intending to get through the door as quickly as we can? Are we intending to get there before everybody else and cut someone off? Or are we intending to open the door so other people can get it first? Or, you know, how can we open the door so that it expresses an intention that we want to base our life on? If we just kind of mindlessly go through the door, it's probably fine, you're not going to cause any harm perhaps. But what if you open the door with the intention to make the door, to do it in such a way that it conveys peace or generosity to the world as you go through the door? It's a huge difference between just opening the door casually and opening the door in a way that's maybe being generous to the other people trying to get through. So there's intentions we have for our ordinary activities of life. When you sit down to eat, when you're driving your car, what intentions do you drive your car with? Many people don't think about it, but there's all kinds of slew of motivations behind how we drive, where we drive to, how we ride the foot on the gas pedal. And many people don't reflect on it, don't think of it. But and then there's bigger intentions that are there in a sense, in the background of our lives. You know, what do we really want our lives to be about? Do we have a larger intention, the purpose, sense of purpose of motivation for our lives? And part of Buddhist spirituality is to be mindful of intention, to look at it, to be interested in it, and to realize it, look at it, all the different levels of intention. So the intentions of daily activities is one thing, as we do them, but then there's also looking, taking reflective time to put, you know, go off and have a cup of tea or go for a walk or something and reflect, what is the intention, what are the deepest intentions, the most important intentions that you want to organize your overall life about? If you're a young person perhaps and you're starting a career, what is the intention that goes behind the career that you want to do? When I was 50 years old, I spent 5 days backpacking alone in the Sierras. And one of the things I did was to kind of review my life and to really reflect deeply, what was the intention I wanted to live my life with at this juncture, famous juncture of 50, you know? And but it felt like just an opportune time to kind of reflect and spend some careful time thinking about what orientation did I want to do, what was important for me to follow through on. And it's very easy to live a life with superficial intentions or live a life with unknown intentions, or live a life with intentions which are not really the ones we choose if we really spend a lot of time deeply considering it. Or it's easy to have powerful intentions that we want to base our life on, but other intentions take over, and so we don't really follow through on what is most important for us, sometimes because of fear. We're afraid of following through on our deepest intention because, you know, maybe it's not going to work out, or our parents are not going to approve of it, or there's no financial support for that kind of life. Or perhaps we're not afraid, but we're so distracted from our deepest intentions by being so busy. We get caught up in all kinds of other things that we're doing. So a very useful aspect of Buddhist spiritual practice is to spend time looking at what motivates us, at all the different levels of motivations that exist, and to sustain the attention, sustain the reflection on it, and involve sometimes actually thinking about, is it intentions, motivations, the purposes that I'm noticing in the small details of my life or the big picture of my life, is this really what I want to be behind, how I want to live my life? Is there some other intention that's more meaningful for me, more valuable for me? If you listen deep inside, if you get really quiet and listen to your heart in some deep way, what do you really want to do? What's really important for you that you want to follow through on and organize your life? And one of the reasons why this is important is that the intentions that you live on and act on shape and color and condition who you are and what unfolds for your life in many, many ways. That's why, you know, this intention is best candidate for who you really are, because it's what shapes who you are, what shapes what you become. It's what shapes the joys and the happiness and the sorrows that you tend to experience in life. To have really beautiful intentions and take refuge in them, to have beautiful intentions and act on them, reconditions us, gives us something that we can be happy about. And to find a sort of happiness or joy or satisfaction or peace in knowing about the purity of our intentions or the beauty of your intentions is a beautiful thing. It's so beautiful that sometimes it doesn't matter whether you succeed in your intentions. And this is something, you know, a beautiful aspect, I think, of the Buddhist teachings on intention is the intention of what counts more often. Whether you succeed or not, that's a different issue. Sometimes it's unfortunate if you don't succeed. But even if you don't succeed, if you can take refuge in my intention was so beautiful, and the conditioning that acting on your intention, the way that conditioned and shaped your heart, might actually be more important than how the success shapes your heart, your mind. The success actually might not, you know, the way you relate to success might actually be detrimental to yourself. You know, you have this really great intention to be of service, then you do this great act of service, and then you just latch onto it as another source of conceit. And so, this, you know, the success of being a service person wasn't so good in the big picture because of the conceit that latched on. But if you didn't succeed, then there was no conceit, and then you're just left with all the good intentions that, you know, somehow were there in the background knowing, taking refuge in that. It's a huge topic. It's a beautiful topic, the topic of motivation, of intention, of sense of purpose. Sometimes the Buddhist teachings where they emphasize, like especially our tradition, the mindfulness tradition, just be in the present moment, be mindful, don't think about things too much. Sometimes shortchanges the practitioner, because to really reflect, to really kind of get into the heart of this issue of intention, purpose, you benefit from reflection and thinking and maybe not on the cushion, but maybe having a cup of tea or talking with a friend or having some way. And for some people, it's very hard to find a deep intention for their life. And for some people, they never find it. Their life is not about having a deep intention, but their life might be about the small intentions they live throughout the day. It might be that the intention to live this moment, in this activity, in a way that brings more peace or happiness or compassion to the situation, or intention to avoid living in these small ways and details of our life, ways that cause harm to ourselves or to other people. And that's a powerful life that, you know, you're not Mother Teresa, you're not doing this big, beautiful thing, But in the moment-to-moment details of your life, as you go shopping for groceries, as you clean your house, as you walk down the street and say hello to your neighbors, you know, all the little things, that your intention is to live that life as a way of alleviating suffering, of not adding more to this world, but rather intention to bring kindness or happiness or alleviation of suffering in the small, ordinary things of life. And I've known people who have done nothing spectacular with their life whatsoever, but have been peacemakers in the world, have been just dramatic, inspiring people just in the ordinariness of their life. And I've known people who have had huge and beautiful, majestic intentions, and they just made a mess of things. But what is your intention? And one of the things I feel about Buddhism is that it's in its emphasis on coming back to the present moment, sometimes that can shortchange us because we don't take the bigger picture and reflect. But it's also the benefits of coming back to the present moment is that it encourages us to let the building blocks of our life start with the small things. And don't overlook the importance of the intention you bring in how you open a door, or how you eat your food, or how you go shopping, how you drive your car. That you don't want to bypass then those things and be blinded to the small details by the big, beautiful goals you can have. But let the engagement with the details and the presence and the connection to yourself that can come with, let that help you find the deeper and deeper intentions that can motivate your life. Your intention, your motivation, your sense of purpose is one of the most precious resources you have. And it's worth tending to and reflecting on. And then once you have some sense of it, what it might be, whether it's small things of life or the big things of life, then acting on it and remembering to act on it the best you can. It's not good enough just to have it. You have to start living from there. And then you'll be surprised as you act on it, how it supports you, benefits you as you continue through your life and through your practice. Anyway, those are my thoughts for today. Thank you.